Tonight, I ask all Americans to commit themselves to the American values for which Charlie Kirk lived and died, the values of free speech, citizenship, the rule of law, and the patriotic devotion and love of God.
That was President Trump reacting last night to this horrific incident of the assassination of Charlie Kirk on a college campus. And now, of course, people are going back to the bio, sort of his prominence from this teenage conservative activist to this podcaster to this person who went around trying to debate at college campuses.
He was 31.
He's just 31 years old. And of course, I think about the kids and that three-year-old probably asking for her dad today. Like, the humanity of all of it is very upsetting. Jason Rowe joins us now, friend of the show, principal of Rowe Strategic. Jason, your reaction when you heard about this yesterday, we'll start there.
Well, it's heartbreaking. And, you know, the more you see and learn about it, I think the sadder it gets. I mean, you mentioned his kids, his wife and kids were there and witnessed that. And I can't imagine what those kids are going to deal with for the rest of their lives. I think for young people looking around thinking this is on a college campus, and, you know, we know college campuses have not been welcoming places for conservative voices. And that's one of the things that made Charlie Kirk so exceptional, is his willingness to go into these very ideologically hostile environments and engage civilly with students and people with opposing views. And, you know, I hope in a positive way this is an inflection point, because we've seen so much political violence.
A turning point, if you will.
Yes, yeah, no pun intended. It really should. I mean, and part of it is how graphic the video is of his death. I mean, we had the Minnesota lawmakers who were killed in their homes, but we didn't get to see what happened. And I think seeing that, laying your eyes on his assassination, is so jarring. And I hope, you know, for people on the right and the left, that everybody checks themselves and realizes that the overheated rhetoric and the name calling and the, assuming people's motives rather than listening to their words or engaging with them, things have gotten out of control. And so I hope that this is an inflection point that calms things down. But I also worry that it is the kind of thing that is maybe going to accelerate some of the divisions within our country.
I think checking themselves is a great idea. Who should lead that charge,
Who's
though?
Who's doing
do you
the
think?
Checking?
Yeah, right.
Well, listen, I mean, there's plenty of guilt to go around on both sides. And I think on both sides, there was some overheated rhetoric, you know, just yesterday and into the evening. I mean, I got up this morning and started scrolling through X and could not believe how awful and vile some of the commentary has gotten, even since, you know, I went to bed last night. It's, I think, incumbent on people on both sides to check themselves and to reconsider how they engage politically. And we've got to find, I mean, you know, part of this is the balkanization of our media consumption in this country, where people on the right only consume conservative media and people on the left only consume liberal media, and that's social media and journalism. And so, we somehow get so offended by the ideas of the other side because we've largely insulated ourselves from the ideas of the other side. So we've got to get back to maybe a collective consumption of news and media and ideas so that people are not so triggered by ideas that harm them. As, you know, we can look across the spectrum of things that have happened politically in this country in the last decade. And for the most part, our lives on a day-to-day basis have not changed that much. And so, you know, the screeching and terror of one side or the other benefiting in an election or in a policy debate are, you know, disproportionate to the impact on our lives. And, you know, hopefully leaders of both parties consider that as we move forward.
Jason, you know, the shooting took place on a college campus. We've seen college campuses become like this battleground for free speech and political discourse in the recent years. What What does an event like this mean for the future of political events on university campuses and for student engagement and for the very idea that a university is supposed to be a place for open debate and exchange of ideas?
Well, listen, I am 55 years old, and I don't know that at any point in my life I've thought universities were places that were open to differing ideas. I think going back to the 60s, universities have been hotbeds for liberal thought, and they've suppressed conservative thought. I think, again, that's one of the things that made Charlie Kirk such an exceptional political voice, is that willingness to go into that hostile territory. To me, one of the most infuriating things is the lack of security. And, you know, you may remember former NCAA swimmer Riley Gaines was barricaded into a university facility, I think at the University of San Francisco, about 2 years ago, where she had literally people banging on the door trying to physically assault her. And was barricaded within that building for a couple of hours. We know, we all know, whether we're on the right or the left, when a conservative goes on a college campus to promote ideas that are not accepted by the students or the faculty, and frankly, the faculty take a lot of ownership in this because they have been very vocal in trying to obstruct conservative voices from being on those campuses. And these are adults that are in leadership positions that are supposed to be developing young minds, not suppressing a thought that they disagree with. But the idea that there was no level of security whatsoever. There were 3,000 college kids at that thing with phones, and we still don't have a suspect. I mean, it has been now 18 hours since this thing occurred, and they still don't even have a video to show us or a picture or a screen grab of any kind. So the idea that a college or university would have a conservative speaker on campus with thousands of their students there and provide little to no security is inexcusable. Well, and I think there should be a huge change there.
Didn't the police officer at the press conference yesterday said he worked with Charlie Kirk's security team to secure this place? So obviously there were holes, but it was safe according to his own security team.
Well, I'm not surprised that the head of the security is trying to tell us that security was fine. I mean, clearly you can tell it was not. I mean, the fact that there were 3,000 people there and we don't even have an image. Even watching the apprehension of the one guy who, you know, didn't turn out to be.
Right, who had nothing to do with it. Right.
Well, and listen, those, you know, whether they were security or law enforcement, they did not seem to be the most physically abled security people I've ever seen in my life. You know, this was not a left wing speaker on campus, which would be a very safe environment. This is a conservative in a place that even in Utah is not particularly a welcoming place. I mean, you saw students visibly celebrating his death the minute it happened at that on that campus. There should have been extra precautions. There should have been police. There should have been, you know, something more than what we've seen.
Right.
And, you know, if we had a suspect, I might feel differently. But
right.
The fact that we're 18 hours after the fact,
they're still looking.
3,000 people there, and nobody has even a picture, is amazing to me.
Anyone celebrating this is a sick individual. I agree with you there. Jason Rowe, thank you for your time this morning.
Thanks, guys.
We'll continue the discussion at 7:35.